Welcome to Native America Calling from Studio 49 in Albuquerque. I'm Tara Gatewood. What do you see when you watch videos of Omaha elder Nathan Phillips drumming and singing in front of a group of Kentucky Catholic high school students? Many tribal leaders and Native observers say they see disrespect. Today we'll hear some perspectives from people who were there. We'll also talk about the problem of instant social media and how it affects understanding the full story. We go live right after National Native News.
This is National Native News. I'm Antonia Gonzalez. The American Indian Movement chapter of Indiana and Kentucky hosted a peace vigil in Covington Tuesday calling for an end to racism. The event was in response to the recent incident involving Nathan Phillips and Covington Catholic High School students in Washington, D.C., which has stirred up controversy nationwide after a video went viral showing the Omaha elder drumming near the students. Tribal leaders and Native American members of Congress called the students' actions disrespectful. Others, including President Trump, have weighed in, showing support for the students. In a live stream by television station KJRH, Guy Jones at the Kentucky rally said the Native community would like to meet with the diocese to discuss moving forward.
One of the things that happened is that when we look at everything, when we look at the entirety of it all, you know, there's, you know, people are pointing and blaming each other, but the reality that this is a product of a symptom that is that's growing in this country. And we as a people have to go and put a stop to it.
Members of Native communities across the country are also calling for peace and for education about indigenous issues. A rally showing support for Phillips was held Sunday in Lincoln, Nebraska. Renee Sansusi with Nebraskans for Peace helped organize the event, saying they were not finger-pointing, but rather raising awareness.
So to me, I felt like this needs to be broadcast to the people here in this city, but also in Nebraska and the region, whatever, that they need to understand that these issues that are occurring as a result now, the racial tension that's been magnified by the current president, you know, in creating this divide between all the people, that this isn't a joke, you know. We're seeing it unfold in this incident as a perfect example.
Meanwhile, Covington Catholic High School students will reportedly return to school Wednesday after classes were canceled Tuesday due to safety concerns. The diocese in statements have said there will be an investigation into the incident. One of the students at the center of the video, Nick Sandman, appeared on the Today Show Wednesday, denying any wrongdoing, saying he would meet with Phillips. Phillips appeared on Democracy Now! Tuesday, recounting the incident, maintaining he was trying to diffuse a moment between the students and a group of Black people, so he picked up a drum and started singing. Tribes, Native organizations, states, and others are joining the United States and four tribes in filing briefs to urge the U.S. Court of Appeals for the Fifth Circuit to uphold the Indian Child Welfare Act. As Zoe Gruskin reports, Alaska is among those backing the law.
Alaska's attorney general and two of the state's congressional representatives are calling on a federal appeals court to uphold the Indian Child Welfare Act, or ICWA. The 1978 law is designed to keep Native children with family members or within Native communities if they're up for adoption or removed from their home by state welfare agencies. Last year, the law was struck down by a U.S. District Court judge in Texas. The judge ruled it unconstitutional, saying it discriminates on the basis of race. That ruling is currently being appealed. Alaska Attorney General Kevin Clarkson joined attorneys general from 20 other states in filing a brief last Monday in support of the law. 2 days later, Alaska Senator Lisa Murkowski and Representative Don Young filed a similar brief, along with five congressional colleagues. In a press release, Senator Murkowski called ICWA among the most significant pieces of Indian legislation Congress has ever enacted. She said its purpose is to protect the integrity of Native culture and family. In Juneau, I'm Zoe Gruskin.
And I'm Antonia Gonzalez.
Yeah. National Native News is produced at the Annenberg National Native Voice Studios by Kwanic Broadcast Corporation. Funding is by Odawi Law Group, provider of Indian Law Solutions, and by the Corporation for Public Broadcasting, with support from the Public Radio Satellite System.
Support by the Heard Museum, hosting the 29th Annual Hoop Dance World Championship, where you can see more than 80 talented Native hoop dancers vie for the championship title February 9th and 10th. Details at heard.org. Support by BNSF Railway Company. BNSF honors the commitment of Armed Forces members and is a top employer for U.S. military veterans, hiring over 9,000 veterans since 2005. More at jobs.bnsf.com.
Native Voice One, the Native American Radio Network.
This is Native America Calling. I'm Tara Gatewood. What really happened at a march in Washington, D.C. on Friday? Well, there's ample video footage from every angle. People are debating about who instigated the confrontation between Omaha elder Nathan Phillips and a group of Catholic high school students from Kentucky. Another group calling themselves Hebrew Israelites is also central to the confrontation. They shouted inflammatory slurs at both the students and Native March participants, and some are saying they played a pivotal role in sparking the altercation. There's also a large amount of disinformation going out. One constant theme from tribes, tribal leaders, Native observers is a sense of profound disrespect directed at Phillips as he drummed and sang the American Indian Movement song. Today we'll unpack some of the issues and get perspectives from folks who were there. And we want to know, as you have seen some of this unfold, you know, what were your initial thoughts and how do they compare to what you're thinking today after more footage has gone viral? You can join us today. All opinions are welcome. The number is 1-800-996-2848. And we're going to start off by going to a moment when Nathan Phillips was in the center of the Covington High School boys singing and drumming inches away from Nick Sandman. Going to introduce our first guest. Joining us today on the line is Marcus Frijo, or also known as Keys IMC, who is a Pawnee and Seminole indigenous hip-hop artist. Our pleasure to have him here with us today. Keys, thank you for joining us.
No, thanks, Jay Stongo. Thanks for having me.
And Keys, I hope that we didn't bring up too many, emotions hearing some of that. And I think we also heard your voice in there as well. You're the gentleman who is also featured in the video, backing up Nathan Phillips. And so just rehearing some of that, Keys, and taking yourself back to that moment, what were you feeling in that moment, right there alongside Nathan?
Well, I can only speak for myself, but for me, you know, I was at peace. I felt fine. I felt like, you know, I want to back up this elder. I've seen him around, and I know he loves to sing. I love to sing. And you know, people call upon songs many times for many things, you know, for prayer, for healing, for round dance, you know, to uplift the people. So at that moment, I was like, yeah, you know, I'm gonna back up this elder. I want to sing with him. And, you know, he's a peaceful man, you know, so he did it in a peaceful way, you know, to change the energy between those opposing sides of resistance of each other, you know, who are people that preach the Bible, who are people that read the Bible. And for me, watching that, you know, as an indigenous person from Oklahoma, which is the buckle of the Bible Belt, you know, I understand what it's like to grow up around Christians. You know, I grew up going to church, you know, around white folks, you know, and knowing that the difference between indoctrinated religion, Bible-thumping Christians that tell you that your way is evil, and those that are truly Christ-like. And so when I looked at that, you know, from the outside looking in as a native with this drum, it wasn't Christ-like. You know, it was the opposite of Christ-like. It was the opposite of unity. But it visually was what this country is going through right now, the racial tension that's happening in this country. And so, you know, the Spirit moved through Nathan's heart, you know, and he wanted to lead that way and sing a song, you know, to change that energy. And we always talk about writing our narrative, changing the narrative. Well, in order to change a narrative, you have to change the energy. And if you change the energy spiritually with songs and drum in a peaceful way, because I was at peace, then you can change that energy around you, and then you can change the narrative. You know, and if you look at it, you know, he stepped in there and he started singing. They parted the way, and the next thing you know, he's in the middle. You know, and I'm right there with him. You know, and he was an elder. I couldn't leave his side. It was just me and him. And if you think about it, we were in the middle of that circle, and that's a ceremony. Even if those kids know it or not, they were touched in some way. Maybe not this year. Maybe not next year. Maybe 20 years from now. But something happened. And maybe something happened for them, and something happened for the Black Hebrew Israelites who were disrespectful, you know, earlier on in the day. But see, I can put both that aside, and I can put both the taunting and the laughing aside from these young, impressionable white students who probably have an upbringing of that type of bigotry because they have ignorance of not knowing what culture is because they don't meet people from different backgrounds or understand culture. So for me, I was at peace. I was at peace, and I knew everything was going to be okay. And the way I look at it is nobody was hurt. And at the end of it, that song calmed the spirit down, and everybody walked away.
And Keith, can you tell me if you were there, if you heard, or why the decision was made to, you know, first sing that song as well as move into the middle, or putting themselves, or you know, right there in between these two sides? Do you know?
Well, I don't know. You know, I was just there and I was supporting and I was just, you know, following Nathan. And it happened so fast. And, you know, he kind of went to like, you know, like how they did at Standing Rock. You know, they go and they stand right there at the line and they'll sing their songs. So, you know, I figured I'll be right there behind him, you know, stand with him. And it's the least I can do, you know, for an elder. You know, because there was nobody there. It was him and I. Everybody had left. And in regards to that song, that was the song that he started. That was the song that was on his heart. So I can't speak for him why he started that song. You know, but all I can do is just join in, you know, and in hope, you know, bring, you know, a spiritual change to that crazy situation. Because it was a crazy situation. And it happened so fast, you know, for a lot of people. And, you know, I feel like times in life, you know, Creator puts people in certain positions at the right time. And it was supposed to be him because he's a peaceful person. You know, if it were anybody else, they could have easily got irritated, got angry, and it could have been a different outcome.
Sure.
You know, but, and, you know, I'm thankful for that. And a lot of people, you know, give me slack, you know, why weren't you there? Why didn't you protect him, guard him, and get around him? And why didn't you defend the natives? It wasn't my place. It's not my place to feed into the negative energy of other people who have nothing to do with positivity, spiritual healing of our people. We can react every day in a negative way, a hateful way. But why? Let's help each other. You know, and that's the problem with this country today. We can learn that hate, you know, from other people and throw that hate back. And eventually that hate will become us. And then we start hating ourselves and start dividing amongst ourselves. So what is the solution?
Sure.
The solution for me is just to sit there and sing in peace. And eventually, in time, because it takes time, that change will happen. But technology has people wanting it so fast that they get confused, frustrated, angry. And that's what technology does. That's the
sure.
battle.
It brings all those emotions really rapidly. And then people are reacting. And so we're going to get into that, too. Later on, we have a guest with us who studies this and tries to bring more understanding what happens when people react without getting the full story or taking a moment to breathe and really take in, you know, what is this that I'm seeing? There's a lot there. Keith, I really appreciate you sharing. And it looks like we will have the opportunity to hear directly from Nathan Phillips. It's my pleasure to go ahead and welcome him into the hour right now. Our pleasure to welcome in Omaha Elder and Marine Vietnam era veteran. My pleasure to say hello, Nathan. Welcome to Native America Calling.
Hello. Good morning. How are you?
We're doing good, Nathan. And you know what? Everybody's talking about you. We wanted you to just, join us today and talk a little more about what happened. And I think one huge question that people continue to ask is why you moved in between these two groups, the group of young men who were also protesters because they were just coming from a rally themselves, as well as the Hebrew-Israelites. Nathan, tell us more. Why did you walk in between the two?
Why did I do that? For the first time in my 34 years of sobriety, was it Monday morning I woke up, and this is something that's been just weighing on my mind. I said, God, why me? First time in all my sober life, I said, why was it I was the one to be chosen to be there and do that? Because this isn't, hello, I'm sitting out here on the steps of on the street in Washington, D.C., and people just walk by seeing me and say hi. So anyway, I'm sorry. Because what was going on there, when the Indigenous People's March, that's what I was there for. And that was a great gathering. Oh, I just really liked it. But then these guys come and set up, and I find out they're called the Black Israelites. So they reminded me of the Westboro Baptist Church people. And they were there doing their little talk and stuff, and we tried to ignore it. I think I heard somebody talking about how, when I was saying to them, we don't return, hate with hate, return.
It really rallied people up. And Nathan, we do want to hear, why you did walk in between the two. And we heard a little bit on it on Monday's show, things that you shared with me on Saturday, just a day after all this happened. And I'm going to give you that space right here. We got to take a break. But folks, you can join us, too. We are hearing more about what happened at the steps of the Lincoln Memorial last Friday. It's gone viral. People are talking about this. Many sides on this. If there's anything you'd like to share, 1-800-996-2848 is the number. We look forward to your calls. And when you think of just how fast all of this has gone out there, and each day it seems like something new is happening, what are your thoughts and how does it resonate back to your own community, your own circle? 1-800-99-NATIVE is the number to join us. This month, we visit with neo-contemporary Navajo artist Randy L. Barton about his album, The Blessing Way, that mixes in electric sounds brushed with b-boy breakbeats and tribal rhythms, including sounds from his Diné Nation. We hope you'll make plans to join us for this on the next Native America Calling.
Buju, we do Kaogini Janisag, Jimino Ayawad, Anioshki Bibung, Abba Jetun, Minwanjaganan, Minua Bindige Biagazon, Jitabayge Siwan Nanandu Wiendwa, Mawadishiwain, Medicaid.gov, Gema Insure Kids Now.gov, Gema Ganoj 1-800-318-2596, Gema Ganoj Ninandu Wiad Inishinabain Jibindige Biagazoyan, Kaundinagadeg, the Centers for Medicare and Medicaid Services. Miigwech.
Yo and I, hey, young, I do that.
This is Native America Calling. I'm Tara Gatewood. Today we are talking about the incident between the Covington High School students as well as Hebrew Israelites in Washington, D.C., as well as an Omaha elder, Nathan Phillips. If you'd like to comment, phone lines are open. The number is 1-800-996-2848. We do have Nathan Phillips on the line, Omaha elder, as well as Indigenous hip-hop artist Keese IMC. Gentlemen, thank you for being with us. And Nathan, I'm going to turn it back to you, sharing your thoughts, why you went in between the two groups.
Oh, yeah, so there I was with the Indigenous peoples and having a nice little rally. And about, let's see, we had that all day there on the mall. And in the middle of it, that about 2 o'clock, 3 o'clock in the afternoon, these folks set up and started hurling all kinds of bad things at us. But we ignored them. But then the March for Right protest people just got done with their march and were heading back that through that way. And, oh, geez, they got in and did with them. And for about 2 or 3 hours, it was just back and forth between these young people and the Israelite people. There was only 4 of these guys there doing their little soapboxing out there on the mall. And by the end of about 3 hours of going back and forth with hurling the abuses at each other, these two groups, finally that's when it escalated to over 200 of these young right to life protesters out there harassing these 4 black guys, you know. And I say they were harassing them because they could have walked away. They could have just walked away. But there they were. And then we're just sitting there. We're on the side because we're trying to pack up and be out of there. Otherwise, we would have been out of there. But we had things there on the mall that just, we were just, you know, we had a permit to be there. And we were standing our ground like that. And so there they are, you know, hollering at each other. And then I'm pretty sure people have seen the videos of where they get out there and do a unified chant against those guys. And
you're talking about the high school students going into some of their chants that people have seen and also uncovered more footage of them at some of their pep rallies and games. And so they were, you know, basically speaking back with the cheers that they know. And so, you know, Nathan, take me to that moment. You hit the drum the first time. What were you thinking and why did you sing that song?
Oh, somebody came up to me and said, hey, we got to do something. I said, not my monkey, not my circus, you know. And I wanted to just go away because it was just ugly. But then, you know, I carried a pipe and when, you know, I thought that, it's like, but what was going in front of me was these two groups were ripping the fabric of America apart right in front of me. You know, here is racism, bigotry, hatred just going on for a couple hours in front of us. And because we had the permit and we had things and we were packing up as fast as we could to get out of there, you know. But, you know, we were sort of stuck there with that. So we had to stand our ground, you know. And when that was said, hey, something's got to be done, you know, this is getting out of hand. And it was a mob. It was a mob mentality happening there. And when somebody said, do something, and my first response was to run away, my second thought was, oh, but I can't, you know. And I put myself in prayer because whenever I find myself in some kind of a difficult situation, that's always my go-to, you know. Make a prayer and pray about it a little bit and think about it, and, you know. And so when I started that song, somebody put a drum in my hand, and I had that drum, and I was trying to think what song to sing. I was taken away from my family when I was 5, put in foster care. So when I came home to the people, to my family and all, my brother, Raleigh Phillips, he's gone now, but he taught me that song. And so that's the song that I started. It's the first song I ever learned. And it turns out to be the American Indian Movement song. And, you know, the reason that song was, you know, composed was during those times during Raymond Yellow Thunder, for those folks that don't remember, Raymond Yellow Thunder was murdered by a mob. And then, you know, I thought, while I was singing that song, I thought about, you know, because the president had just got done talking about Wounded Knee. And my mind was going, you know, this song would work because, you know, maybe somebody should have stood in front of that 7th Cavalry, you know, before they got to Wounded Knee.
And so, Nathan, when you were singing this, you were in prayer, despite that this is the song sung often with the American Indian Movement. This was just a song you chose to sing in prayer. Is that correct?
In prayer.
And so
that song was for unity and strength and courage. And, you know, there's a lot of good things about that song.
And so, Nathan, you know, we take it where things are today. If anybody were to type in any keywords of some of the things that we've said today about this intersection of people, there's lots of opinions. And there are even people who have pushed back and said that you taunted the kids. And people have also questioned, as an adult, why did you walk into this group? Here's your chance to clear up some of those elements of pushback of people who are saying you were in the wrong. What would you like to say, Nathan?
Well, if they weren't there, then, you know, that's one of the first things I would think is, were they there? And if they were there, and were they the, what I look at is the teachers and the chaperones of those students, where were they? Why did it come to the point where I'm there and I find myself putting myself in prayer because of such an ugly situation of hatred and bigotry going on right in front of me? And so, you know, me taunting them, I think there's a lot of video evidence out there not showing me out there at all until the last 10 minutes, 15 minutes of after 3 hours of these two groups going at it.
And you know what? We're going to share some of those moments, too, because a lot of times that is being left out of the narrative. Even the fact that some of these things were being directly directed at Native Americans. And so, Nathan, today on the Today Show, the young man, Nick Sandman, made an appearance. And on it, I'm going to quote directly from that segment. He says, "As far as standing there, I had every right to do so." Also in the interview, he also said that he would like to talk to you directly. Nathan, I know you haven't had a chance to see this video yet, so I'm going to give you a little more of what he said. He also said, "Well, now I wish I would have walked away. I didn't want to be disrespectful to Mr. Phillips and walk away if he was trying to talk to me." He also said, "I was surrounded by a lot of people. I didn't know that they had their phones out. Had cameras, and I didn't want to bump into anyone or seem like I was trying to do something." And more this narrative, even through his own statement, he's saying that he feels he didn't do anything wrong or offensive. Nathan, any thoughts on what you just heard me read to you, or, you know, things you're hearing that the young man feels he did absolutely nothing wrong?
You know what? Somehow we got disconnected when you started reading that. And I just called back, and they really connected to me. So I didn't hear what you said except for the last three words. What do you think of that?
Okay, you know what, Nathan? I'm going to give you a moment. I'm going to hand this paper that I'm reading directly from to one of my directors here, and they're going to read it for you. While we do that, I'm going to take some phone calls. Let's go ahead and turn to our phone calls today. If you'd like to join us, 1-800-996-2848 is the number. We're going to go to Kelly in Durango, Colorado, tuned in on KSUT. Kelly, thank you for giving me a ring. You're on air.
Hi. So I actually grew up in Kentucky, and I just like to offer a perspective on what it's like. As far as Native American history or culture, nothing is taught in schools, and I do think that this is the absolute root of the problem. Non-Natives in Kentucky are not educated about the history of Natives or any cultural aspects or even the current issues that Natives face. And if there were more education, I don't think there would be any question of Nathan's intention with his drum and why there was disrespect shown by the children.
All right. Well, I thank you for your call. Again, you can join us too, 1-800-996-2848. Keese, while my director is talking to Nathan and giving him those lines that I read, what's your reaction that, you know, this has turned this way and people are saying, you know, choosing sides and, you know, we even have these young people who feel they didn't do anything wrong. You were there witnessing the entire thing that transpired when the native, Nathan and the group approached them, as well as even seeing the young people doing what mimicked a haka. Keese, your thoughts?
When I saw them do the haka, I knew right then that was the haka. And of course, right then I knew, okay, this is an appropriated version of the haka. These are a bunch of white kids that appropriate, don't understand culture, probably never even maybe met a Maori, I don't know. But in that moment, they used something from a culture to come against the culture in a heated racial argument, and their name of their haka is the sumo chant, which is another appropriation of another word. So, you know, for me at that point, you know, just looking at that, I just, you know, this is the world. This is the world we live in. This race issue is real. There, people are going to pick sides. That's what people do. People pick sides, especially right now. You know, the walls within the people are so high that they can't even see the sunrise and the sunset anymore. And said, when that time comes, that sickness will be in the world. But what do you do? What is the solution? And the only thing that I could do, like I said, is stand there and support and sing in a peaceful way and not let that negativity get me. When they started chanting and mocking and, you know, doing their dances, you know, of course they're going to do that. That's what anybody does that's ignorant of a culture, of an identity. It's called dehumanization. That's the problem. That's why we're dealing with so many problems in this world, because we're dehumanized as people of culture, people of color. But how do you change that? You change it one step at a time, one song at a time, one moment at a time, and from there, if you can walk away with nobody hurt, then it was a good day.
All right. Thank you for that, Keese. You can join us, too. 1-800-996-2848 is the number. Right now, we're going to go to Lance Gums. He is a senior trustee and councilman of the Council of the Shinnecock Indian Nation and the regional vice president of the National Congress of American Indians. Our pleasure to have him here. And Councilman Gums, I appreciate you being on the line today. And you were there at the march, and then you were also there when things started to heat up. And even witnessed some of the things that were being directed or put directly at Native people, the marchers, and people who were even wrapping up with a round dance. We'll welcome you into the conversation. And, you know, what's your take on all this? What were you witnessing? Councilman Gums? All right. Let's see if we can get him back. 1-800-996-2848 is the number to join us. Maybe we do have him. Let's try him again. Councilman Gums, go ahead.
Hello, can you hear me?
Yes, we hear you well.
Okay. You know, it's interesting. I've been watching this scenario play out since Friday. And, you know, I have to agree with Nathan on a number of issues. First of all, I was there as a speaker and as a representative of my nation in the National Congress. And when this was closing up, these young men that came from up by the reflecting pool, they all started running up. We were in the middle of a round dance at that time, and they ran right through the round dance to get to where they were at. And this went on for quite a while, as Nathan had said earlier. This went on for quite a while. The Israelites, as they are called, I know a number of people have called them Muslims, and they made that emphatically clear out there that they were not Muslims, that they were Israelites, that they were Hebrews. But they were out there spewing their rhetoric continuously for about 2 or 3 hours. And most everyone was ignoring them. The only ones that didn't ignore them were these young kids who went right to them. There were three levels that any one of the, you know, groups could have went to. The Israelites were on the first level where we were at. But these kids went right to them and started. So when people keep saying, you know, that the Israelites started this, I'm not going to defend them. I'm not going to defend, you know, the verbiage that they put out there and that they were, because they were going after everyone. But the reality is that they did not go after these kids. These kids chose to sit around them, to stand around them, and to go back and forth and hurl insults at them. And the question that I had in my mind at that time was, where were the chaperones? Where were the individuals that were supposed to be monitoring these children? When Nathan started singing, I had started walking out. And when I had walked out, I heard the big roar and stuff, and I turned around and I walked back in, and I could see, you know, the kids jumping up and down, and I could clearly hear from my side, and there was a number of people with me, the chant, "Build a Wall," coming from the outside group of kids. And we looked upon that, and we said, you know, here is the situation right here. Here is what we're talking about. But what, you know, really, really disturbed me is the fact that these kids stayed around the Israelites and continued to bombard them with, you know, derogatory statements. And I understand Nathan's, you know, position, you know, as a Native elder in, you know, trying to take it upon himself to smooth out, you know, what was going on. Because when we heard the war, our automatic assumption was that the Israelites and the kids had gotten into an all-out brawl. And then when we came back, we saw all the kids jumping, and I found out later on that Nathan was in the middle of that. But the total disrespect and disregard for anyone out there, not, you know, just Native people, that these students showed, you know, is part of the problem to me. And, you know, the secondary part of that problem is, where were the chaperones?
And Councilman, you know, Combs, you know, something I haven't heard people report on, and I'm wondering, what about law enforcement? Was there any law enforcement anywhere? I know watching the full extent of the Hebrew Israelites footage, it is until about, you know, well over an hour and a half that they even come and talk directly to these folks and ask, is everything okay? And you know, both the conversation that they were having with a young woman, everybody says things are calm. You know, they showed up then, but were they on the scene then? I'm sorry, we're going to break here. Quick yes or no?
No, there were none out there.
Okay, we're going to pick up this conversation here after the break. You can join us too. 1-800-996-2848 is the number. You can also leave your comments directly on our Twitter account too, 1-800-99-NATIVE. Hang tight, there is more here. We're glad you're connected.
Support by Travoy, helping create affordable housing and community economic development in Indigenous communities. Travoy is seeking Indigenous artists to show artwork at First Friday's openings in Kansas City, Missouri, and receive an honorarium. A jury will select up to 6 artists to exhibit in the Crossroads Arts District. Application deadline is January 31st. Info at travois.com/first-Fridays.
Thanks for tuning in today here on Native America Calling. And there is still time to get in on the conversation about the incident at the Indigenous Peoples March in Washington, D.C. Videos show the interactions between a youth as well as a Native elder, as well as other protesters. And what did you see when you watched some of this? Phone lines are open, 1-800-996-2848. I want to share with you some of the moments that, you know, people are talking about. We keep mentioning Hebrew Israelites. Here's some of what they were speaking to those who were wrapping up the Indigenous Peoples March. And what we're going to share with you is what they directed directly at Native people.
Indian means savage. You are not savages. You are the children of God, according to the Bible. You are the children of Israel. Before you started worshiping totem poles, you was worshiping the true living God. Before you became an idol worshiper, you was worshiping the true and living God. And this is the reason why this land was taken away from you. Because you worship everything except the Most High. You worship every creation except the Creator. And that's what we are here to tell you to do. We are here to tell you to wake up to the four corners of the earth. This is the truth of the Holy Bible. We don't have a microphone, brother. Okay, and this is the part of freedom of the speech and freedom of religion, and that's what we out here for. Okay, and I hear you. How long you been marching? How long you been protesting? How long you gonna say no justice, no peace? Where's the damn no peace at? Where's the no peace? Everywhere you look, go to the casinos, go to the reservations. It's worse than the projects. It's worse than Compton. It's worse than Brownsville, Brooklyn. But y'all don't know that. Y'all don't see the similarities. We got the same oppressor.
And that was just some of it, and it was edited just so that we could bring you a part of it from the program, just cutting into the timeline. We're going to go straight to our phone lines. Any thoughts on what you just heard? How do you think that fits into some of the things you've seen online? Is that being included in the narrative? Are people reporting on what some of the words that were directed at Native Americans? You can share your thoughts, 1-800-996-2848. My pleasure to welcome in a caller. We got Malcolm in Albuquerque, New Mexico, tuned in on KUNM. Malcolm, thank you for your call. You're on air.
Hi, I'd just like to say peace to Terry.
Hey, Malcolm. Malcolm, do me a favor. Take us off a speakerphone because we want to hear you clearly. Again, you can join us or you can share your thoughts at 1-800-99-NATIVE on Twitter. Malcolm, you there?
Okay. Can you hear me now?
Yeah, much better. Thanks.
Okay, I'm sorry. Yeah, I'd just like to say peace to Terry and to Nathan and also to the MC, the young rapper right there. I am a Hebrew Israelite. They have labeled us Black Hebrews, but we just consider ourselves Hebrews. I live here in Albuquerque, been living here for a long time, and I'd just like to clear up some of the misconceptions that and unfortunate publicity that we receive through the actions of some of these young men. I'm just going to be brief. Our platform as Hebrews, and we are not Black Hebrew Israelites. There's many Native Americans that are with us, as well as our Hispanic brothers. But our first and foremost thing is peace. You know, we see ourselves as ancient people of the earth. And as ancient original people, we are always standing in support of other indigenous people. The people that were out there in Washington, D.C., they represent a very, very small minority of our group that lives in peace. And unfortunately, as Nathan pointed out, they reminded him of those one, I forget the name, Wayfair Baptist Church or whatever they're called. So we don't condone those people's actions, but we do want to say that here in New Mexico, we have an excellent and strong relationship with our Native brothers. We've been invited to many ceremonies. We've been dealing with elders and many of their ceremonies because we share a lot of similarities between our ghettos and quote-unquote hoods and the reservations out here. We face the same educational problems. We face the same health issues. We face even some of the same diseases. So our effort is to unite and to come in peace, not necessarily to name call. Obviously, those brothers who generalize all Native Americans are completely wrong. That's an incorrect notion to assume that all people are the same.
Right. And you know, that's something that happens to Native Americans constantly. Malcolm, would like to visit with you more, but I got to move on. Thank you for your call here in Albuquerque. And we're going to go ahead and take another call. Let's go ahead and say hello to the folks who are joining us today on the phone line. We're going to go ahead and go to Bruce in Santa Fe, New Mexico, tuned in on KUNM. Bruce, thank you for your call. You're on air. Or maybe not. Call back, Bruce. All right, right now, I want to go ahead and bring in two more folks who are on the line with us today. Joining us is Kansas Middleton. He is the ambassador for the organization Native Hope. He is Lakota. Also through Skype, we have Marissa Duarte. She's an assistant professor of justice and socio-technical change in the School of Social Transformation at the Arizona State University. Marissa is Pasqua Yaqui. And Kansas, I'm just going to give you a moment because we are getting tight on time. You were also there. You witnessed some of this. You just heard some of the things that maybe reminded you of what you witnessed. Your take on all of it.
I'm going to echo, thank you for having me on the show, first of all. Definitely want to address this issue because overall, I think it's dividing our country. And, you know, we need unity. And overall, I think this is a good teaching point for our indigenous people, our native people, to try to help and reach out to, you know, people that need more education and to help, you know, give understanding and perspective. And so we can live in unity. We can live in acceptance of one another. And with that being said, yes, I can touch on, you know, the things that Marcus was saying, the things that Lance was saying as well. You know, I was there as a modern day Lakota warrior. You know, we stand up for what we're doing, which is why a lot of us were there as indigenous people. And we were there to protect and serve and do all the things of unity overall. We were there for unity. And, you know, we've seen the Israelites come and they kind of stirred this up. But like Lance had echoed and said, you know, we all avoided them. We had a few of our you know, people go over and try to, you know, tell them to leave and stuff, and it wasn't working. They kind of stood their ground in a sense. So we just went, and myself, I went over, and I told some of our ladies and some of the other people that, you know, were giving them attention. I was, you know, reminding them that our energy needs to be channeled to unity, and this can happen. You know, that's not what we're here for. And so, you know, some of it worked, some of it didn't. And, you know, when the permits start ending, you know, I start getting with my media company and our crew and of people that were there representing Native Hope and the Lakota and the Navajo. And we start leaving. And, you know, and we heard the same things. We heard all of that. And, you know, some of the things that were said, you know, I don't want to repeat anything because, you know, us guys are here about unity.
And Kansas, you know, it set people off, and people who are watching some of the footage, you know, they're also putting up footage of people who were coming from the march, also, you know, having confrontation or saying different things to the young boys. If you look at this group's footage, too. You also see, you know, Native people getting angry and tell me about, you know, because this conversation has definitely gone into who's right, who's wrong, what side, who started it. But can you talk to me about the emotions of when people are set off, they get emotional and things are happening. And thank goodness, you know, nobody, it didn't turn into that brawl that Nathan, you know, that folks thought that this was turning into, that, you know, people were able to walk away. Nathan, you work with young people. You try and give them empowerment so that they understand situations. Nathan, or I'm sorry, I keep calling you that, Kansas. What's your thought to you know, maybe this is a teaching moment. This is a learning moment of how we react and our own power to think about things before we react.
You know, just speaking on the age of the teenage boys, you know, they still have to be accountable and they have for their actions, because we all have to be accountable. But, you know, with their maturity level and how to handle their emotions, you know, obviously they let them get the better. They let it control them and get the better of their judgment. You know, but overall, there was a lot of emotions. You know, some of the things that you played about the Israelites saying, you know, some of it was just getting, you know, said out of context. And, you know, it was just triggering some of my Native people from our past traumas that we endured as people. And it was just, you know, maybe triggering them things. And so emotions were very high, you know, on all sides, you know, with the Israelites, with my Native American people, with the kids from Covington. And, you know, and I'm glad that, you know, I'm proud and glad that Nathan stepped up and intervened, because there's one article I read about the Israelites where they were down almost in a football stance, ready to take on the charge and of that. And they welcomed it. And, you know, before it got to that point, I'm very glad that Nathan used the gift that the Creator gave us to step in and intervene. And like I said, you know, we can all discuss this, everybody with their viewpoints, you know, but the people that were truly there, the people that are on the ground know what happened. And overall, you know, we can have unity and growing from this education. You know, I want to take the time right now, if Nathan's still on, anybody that can be in contact with him, you know, us guys here at Native Hope have a lot of great connections, and I know they're in the works of trying to do it right now, of trying to establish a meeting between the school, between Nathan, between Mr. Young Sandman and his parents. And, you know, here at Native Hope, we actually are kind of sitting on that meeting. We can help make that happen. So Nathan, if you're on, I definitely encourage you to reach out to me at Native Hope and try to see what we can do. Like I said, you heard a lady. She was the ultimate testimony that called in earlier. I believe her name was Kelly. She said, most people don't know about us. Most people don't know the issues, the values, the different understandings and perspective. And so they act this way. And really, you know, I'm not trying to get anybody out of any situations or any actions. But, you know, from here, we can ultimately see that we all need education, understanding, and growth.
Sure, and so, sure. And Kansas, we'll make sure that if Nathan's still on the line, that we'll connect the two of you. Marissa, boy, time has gone by really fast, and we can't let this hour wrap up without just talking about, you know, what happens online and how fast. And I think this is a perfect example of how rapidly things can change. Emotions can go high. Thanks to Kansas, as well as our other guests, talking to us about just how many emotions were going high there on the ground. But Marissa, you understand this. You study it. You know, what's important to add to this conversation?
Thanks so much for having me on. I really, you know, very honored to be part of this group, you know, very thoughtful people. I just want to point out that we have to recall that social media is just one type of micromedia that's among various means of mass communication, you know, and these include the Today Show, right? Mass media. These include, you know, the media that, you know, my colleague Keese, you know, is a part of in terms of original hip hop and so forth, independent journalism, you know, and unfortunately, the histories of racism in this country have made it such that people of color and indigenous peoples usually are not in control of the means of production of mass communication, right? And so when we have to catalog our injustices, you know, what we do is we take to micromedia. We use the phones in our pockets to sort of document things, you know, so that we can take it into our homes and to our communities, parse it out, talk about it, and then, you know, try to seek means of justice. Unfortunately, you know, additionally, when it comes to structures of justice, those, again, because of racism, have been dominated by, you know, white supremacist mode of life in the United States, right? So oftentimes what we see happening when you see, you know, documentation of injustices against or what it seems to, what appears to be some sort of moral wrongs, right, or violations against people of color, indigenous people, you know, through social media, is that right away it gets swept up in what we call the court of public opinion. And so that's, you know, these Twitter, these kind of like raging conversations on Twitter, you know, these sort of back and forth on Facebook and all sorts of things like that, right? And that causes, you know, it shapes a public pressure. It certainly does, you know. And of course, you know, the powers that be are going to want to, you know, sort of tighten, you know, what they consider to be a peace, right? And so interestingly, this happens, you know, at a time when we're honoring, you know, Martin Luther King Jr., right? But he made it very clear that there's such a thing as a peace that is just sort of like, you know, don't rock the boat, you know, keeping things orderly for the white elite. Right. But he also says there's another kind of peace, and that's a moral peace, you know, and that will cause discomfort. You know, it's going to destabilize people who have not had to look inward about how, you know, they're implicated in these histories of racism and structural racism, the institutions that make it so that there is such a thing, you know, as a Catholic high school in the United States that's, you know, all white, you know, and that they don't know any Native history, and that they're engaging in not just one kind of appropriation, but appropriation of multiple cultures.
Sure. You know, and Marissa, we got to get ready to wrap up the hour. And, you know, this is still developing. And at some point, it would be great to hear you break down some of the things that are going on, even with Twitter accounts being frozen that we're reading about in the media. But we got to wrap it up. Marissa Duarte, thank you for sharing here with us. And a bit of housekeeping. We did reach out to the Diocese of Covington, Kentucky, but did not hear back from them. And the audio that we also heard from today is from the YouTube channel of Chief Ephraim Armath-Pagi. Got moment for a quick comment from Nathan. We do still have him. I'm going to go back to him. Nathan, I understand you're still digesting the words of the young man, but final comments, got about a minute.
Thank you so much for giving me this moment. I want to say thank you to everybody who's been supporting me. And then I would also like to say that, you know, for any more further dialogue, for true reconciliation, we need to have a religious summit that would involve the diocese and also perhaps Pope Francis.
All right. Thank you for that. And hang tight, Nathan. We're going to see about connecting you with our guest today, Kansas. Well, folks,
I have to run in for an MSBC.
Okay, good deal. Sorry about that. Thank you for joining us today. And folks, we got to wrap things up here. You know what? You can carry on the dialogue online. And how can I say that after Marissa just said that? Lots to think about today. We really appreciate you tuning in, but you can always find us online, NativeAmericaCalling.com. Thanks again to everybody we heard from today, and we also hope that you will join us again tomorrow. We're going to take a look at music, and we're going to be visiting with Randy Boogie and his new album. It's called The Blessing Way Boogie, and it features electronic and tribal music. That's going to do it for our show. I'm Tara Gatewood.
Support for this program by the Heard Museum, hosting the 29th Annual Hoop Dance World Championship, where you can see more than 80 talented native hoop dancers combine artistry, sheer athleticism, and cultural traditions to create an exciting, colorful, and suspenseful competition as they vie for the championship title. It all takes place February 9th and 10th at the Heard Museum in Phoenix, Arizona. Details at heard.org.
Yat eh, Nahachini Yasin Lenigilata Yati Archich Yan Yadat, Ege Yati Yango, Petra Yada Hot eh, Adon Dasta Yanre, Besoch Anat Nelets, Isbagi Padded Idli, Nidikida Nahalong, Medicaid.gov, Edota InsureKidsNow.gov, Idli, Nado Dago Yanre Zel Emplaz Ago, Conda Yapenda Dos Kidole, Edota Kujo Hodilne, 1-800-318-2596, a message from the Centers for Medicare and Medicaid Services. Ayaha.
Native America Calling is produced in the Annenberg National Native Voice Studios in Albuquerque, New Mexico by Kwanic Broadcast Corporation, a Native nonprofit media organization. Funding is provided by the Corporation for Public Broadcasting with support from the Public Radio Satellite Service. Music is by Brent Michael Davids. Native Voice One, the Native American Radio Network.